AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of Amy and TJ. Robox sitting here next to me. A lot of people have been following along with us the past, I guess, couple of weeks. We did a show talking about, on one of the episodes, talking about you not making an appointment and being over a year and a half. Since you went in for blood work that you were supposed to have. Do I have that right? As a breast cancer survivor.
Yes, I have been doing it every 6 months or so up until, well, you know.
Yes, everything hit the fan. But we did update people recently that you have made the appointment.
Right.
You are going to get your blood work done very soon. And that appointment is with someone you speak so highly of all the time, Dr. Oratz.
Yes, Dr. Ruth Oratz, and she is actually in the studio with us. She is my oncologist. She has been with me from the very beginning since I was, oh yes, a young pup of 40 when I got my breast cancer diagnosis. But Dr. Oratz has been on the journey with me every step of the way. And so first of all, I'm just going to apologize for having left so much time and space between us over the past year and a half. But it's so good to see you, and we're so happy to have you in the studio with us. So welcome.
I'm happy to be here. I'm delighted to be here with both of you. And Amy, you know, I stalk you. So even though I haven't seen you in person, I know you've been okay.
Oh, thank you.
And I see you training. I see you out there running. I know you're healthy. And I know that you take really good care of yourself.
Thank you.
So we'll update everything when we see you.
Okay. Yeah. In a couple weeks, we've got the appointment. But we asked you to come into the studio because there's been a big headline this week with actress Olivia Munn. She's 43 years old. She let everyone know that she has just been through 10 months of treatment for breast cancer. That, of course, is always a big announcement when there's someone famous who can bring awareness to the cause. But it's a unique story because she's talking about how she found her cancer. She said she had a clear mammogram. She said that she didn't have any of the markers for genetic testing that would make her a candidate for potentially having breast cancer. But then she said her doctor, 2 months later, had her do a breast cancer risk assessment test. And that led to more tests, which led to her finding an aggressive form of breast cancer in both breasts. And I kind of thought I knew a lot about breast cancer throughout my journey, but even I was scratching my head. A breast cancer risk assessment test. Please explain what that is and just put this into perspective for us.
Yes. I think we were all very shocked to hear this story, and it raises an important issue, particularly for young women who are diagnosed with breast cancer. Let me just back up and talk about the mammogram. You know, we do want everyone to have mammogram screening, but as I always say, it's not one size fits all. And for many young women, the mammogram won't show early stage breast cancer because the breast tissue is very dense in young women and the mammogram doesn't show enough. So that's why it's really important for each individual to speak with her doctor about what are the other potential factors that could be contributing to a risk of breast cancer, and do we need to change up or add something to the screening and surveillance? Now, the breast cancer risk assessment tool could be helpful. It's a statistical model that was developed many years ago. We've had this, you know, for probably 15, 20 years already. And it's a simple computer model. It's free. It's available online. You can click on a website and bring it up. And it asks a few basic questions about a woman's personal history. It's really developed for women. We know men can get breast cancer. We'll come to that later, but focusing on women. They ask about age, family history of breast cancer, focusing on close relations. We call those first degree relatives, mother, sister, daughter. Whether or not the person has had a prior biopsy of the breast that showed any atypical cells. And then some questions about reproductive history, how old you were when you had your first menstrual period, if you've had pregnancies, how old you were at the time of that first pregnancy. And then there's a calculation that's made that gives an estimate. I mean, it's not perfect, but an estimate. You know, what's your risk of getting breast cancer in the next 5 years or over your lifetime up to age 90, and compares that to the general population?
I think the test is what's throwing everybody right now. Okay, we tell people, tell women, go get a mammogram. You tell them what age to do it and how often to do it. You go in, mammogram's clear, and you should be in the clear. Now, why would you take the next step, or why isn't everyone being told to do a mammogram and go online and everybody do this risk assessment test?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. We have not made that recommendation. In this case, it did lead to a diagnosis of breast cancer. I think maybe the concern is that if everyone did it, there would be kind of like mass panic, because a lot of people might have a slightly increased risk. I don't know how her test actually, you know, what the numbers were or how it came out.
It was a 37, actually. Was it? I have it right?
37%?
Yeah. Lifetime risk.
Right.
Yeah. So that is higher than the average American woman who has a 12% lifetime risk. Okay. So that was high enough that it triggered the extra testing by her doctor. So, you know, as I was thinking about that, I mean, maybe you're right, TJ. Maybe more people should go online, kind of get a rough idea where they fall out on that. But remember, it's just a rough idea. So Olivia did the right thing. She took the next step and went to her doctor and said, what does this mean?
This is also something that has been interesting to me because, yeah, I had never even heard of this test. We had to look it up and figure out what it was. But I think most people know my history, that I had a mammogram at age 40 because I had a work assignment, not even because I was going in there, because at the time I was diagnosed, the recommendation was 50. Then it went to 45, and now it's down to 40, which we're all applauding. I know you are as well. Anyone who works with breast cancer patients is saying, yes, 40 years old. But I ended up getting a sonogram after the mammogram showed abnormalities. If the sonogram is a better test than a mammogram, or at least maybe a clearer test for younger women who have potentially dense breast tissue, why wouldn't there always be a sonogram, or maybe even a sonogram versus a mammogram?
Well, I think you're right, Amy. And in my personal practice, when I see young women at risk for breast cancer, they haven't had breast cancer, but at risk, let's say because of family history, or they had a concern about something and came in to be evaluated, we do always add the sonogram. Some people who are very young, I do the sonogram and I skip the mammogram because I know that mammogram's not going to show me a whole lot in someone who's very young, maybe in her 30s. So again, you know, the screening recommendations are that everybody should do the same thing. And I think we have to tailor our recommendations to the individual person. And this risk assessment test is something I run in the office. I do it. And I might share that information with my patient and say, look, your risk isn't as high as we thought, or maybe it's higher than we expected, or gee, we should do some genetic testing in you because of your family history. So, you know, there are many factors we look at, and this should be one of those things that gets incorporated into risk assessment. Lots of gynecologists do it, and I think that's what happened in this instance. Her doctor said, let's just run this on you and see how it comes out.
Like you said, I don't know what triggered it. It's free. And yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it? There's no argument to not do it.
Correct. I mean, you know, I always say knowledge gives us power.
The sonogram versus mammogram, is there a difference in cost to the, or what insurance will cover?
So neither of them are expensive tests.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, the insurance companies and Medicare and whatever has set up this paradigm that you have to do the mammogram first before you can order the sonogram.
Huh.
Yep.
It's kind of a crazy thing. I cannot understand it.
Does insurance generally cover both?
Yeah, no, it will eventually get covered, but sometimes you have to go through the mammogram and then we can order the ultrasound. And for our older patients, actually just this past year, Medicare changed their system so that we cannot order the mammogram and ultrasound to be done on the same day.
The person has
to have the mammogram, and then if we think the sonogram is indicated, we order it, and she has to go back a second time.
It's absurd. And look, I have shared this story before, but I haven't here on this podcast. I was outraged when I had the first mammogram in the mamma van in the middle of Times Square. They just saw something suspicious. Nothing specific to cancer. They just said, you know what, we'd like you to get another mammogram because something looks a little off. And so when I went to go make the follow-up appointment at NYU Langone, I got a call the night before from my insurance company saying, we are not going to cover this. And so NYU called me and said, you're going to have to give us your credit card if you want to keep the appointment for tomorrow. And I almost did not do it because I was annoyed, A, that I was going back for a second one, and B, that I was going to have to pay at least $800 out of pocket. $800 to a lot of people is not even an option. That's their rent payment. That's food on their table. Yeah. I was lucky enough to be able to afford it. But to think that insurance companies get involved in a way where they make life so much more difficult and potentially could be costing women lives, time, money, etc. I know you as a doctor have to be so frustrated by this.
We are very frustrated by it. And you know, that $800 bill is probably including other costs than just the cost of doing the x-ray, because we know that when we've done mass screening projects, sending those vans out, for example, we can bring the cost down significantly. And we don't want cost ever to be a barrier for women to get the right screening that they need. So that's really, really important. It is very frustrating. And again, in our younger patients in particular, people say, oh, well, breast cancer doesn't happen in people that age. But it sure does, you know, and you know that all too well.
Dr. Oras, with Olivia Munn here, help me. And again, I'm familiar to a certain degree and I feel maybe familiar a little more because of who I'm in love with here and the history of breast cancer. But the order, someone's told to go get a mammogram. You get that mammogram. If it's clear, then there is no next step necessarily, right? You're done until your next scheduled appointment. Olivia Munn is saying the doctor saw the clear mammogram, but still went ahead and did the risk assessment. And if they hadn't done that, then maybe they wouldn't have taken that. So I am trying to find the order and trying to get women to understand, because I don't understand, but the understand what they should they run out and get online, see their risk assessment score, and then immediately go talk to the doctor about it? Is that what everybody should be doing?
I think everyone has to be aware of what's going on in her own personal health and that family history story. Every woman should see the doctor once a year, or, you know, it could be a nurse practitioner or a PA, whoever the person is who's providing your health care, for a GYN exam and a clinical breast exam. Okay. So sometimes you can feel something that may not show up right away on the x-ray. Also, checking under the arms for lumps is very important. So the clinical breast examination and the mammogram is the way we start. I personally, you know, as Amy knows, in younger patients feel that ultrasound, that sonogram should be part of that evaluation. And then in discussing those results, it's not just, one and done, you're clear. It should be a discussion afterwards. Well, what did my mammogram show? If there's very dense breast tissue there, do I need a follow-up test? If, oh yeah, I didn't tell you my mom had breast cancer, or my mom and her two sisters had breast cancer, or in taking that reproductive history, you find out that that person had their first child over age 30 and maybe, you know, other issues in their personal health that might trigger, in this case, it triggered, you know, Olivia's doctor to run that risk assessment score. It's not wrong for someone to go online and do it herself. Okay. We just want to be careful that people don't get misinterpreted. So once you run it, go in and talk to an expert about what that means and what you should do.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Did I hear you right that a lot of women may be getting the risk assessment and don't even know it because they might be in there with their doctor? It sounds like you were saying you were asking the question and doing the risk assessment, even though the woman didn't realize that.
But then I told her about it.
Oh,
yeah, no. You have to always tell them
what it is.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And it's interesting because we've had this conversation. I was among the more than 80% of breast cancer patients who have no family history. So I would have been considered average risk. I wouldn't have considered myself at elevated risk. But you mentioned this to me way back when. My daughters were really young now, but now Ava's 21 and Annalise is about to be 18. And you had said because of my history, their history is now they are at an elevated risk, correct? So what is the age? Because it's been so confusing for women who are of average risk when they should have their first mammogram. But what about people like my daughters, whose mom had breast cancer at a young age, when should they have their first mammogram? Is that clear?
Yes. What we do is that we recommend they start seeing an expert 10 years before the age at which their mom was diagnosed.
30 for you girls.
So 30
so
for my daughters.
Around 30. That doesn't mean they have to go into a whole intensive thing, but they have to talk to someone who is an expert and go through their personal history, maybe run a risk assessment score, and then figure out, okay, what's going to be the best way of keeping track of them and getting started a little bit earlier so we're ahead of the curve and watching closely.
I mean, obviously, I had access to the best doctors in the world, you, Dr. Oratz, and the incredible surgeons and everyone there at NYU Langone, and I had incredible insurance. For women who don't have those means or have access to healthcare like that, are they going to find it hard? Say they go online and they take this breast cancer risk assessment test and they see it's elevated, it's significantly above that 12% average. What are their options? What could you suggest to them? What is your advice to them?
Well, first of all, we have an amazing network of National Cancer Institute designated cancer centers in every state of the union, all 50 states. Now, we have, you know, four or five of them right here in New York City. So we have a lot of density of population and a lot of healthcare providers. In other parts of the country, it could be a big geographic distance for someone to travel to. But at least if you end up at a cancer center or a university medical center or a medical center affiliated with a medical school, so we're talking about places that are a little more academic, you'll get access to someone who's an expert. There are some other organizations that are out there that provide amazing information and screening for women. Planned Parenthood is one of them. You know, people think Planned Parenthood was only out there to provide contraception and help women if they needed to terminate a pregnancy. But actually, they also provide the entry point into the healthcare system for breast health as well. And other organizations that are out there with who can provide services at low cost or accepting insurances that are like Medicaid or public health insurance. But all the major medical centers will accept other insurances. And here in New York City, for example, in our public hospital system, Health and Hospitals Corporation, HHC hospitals, you can go in even without insurance and be seen in our breast clinic and be evaluated.
Or can you give some perspective to this Olivia Munn story? That it's getting a lot of attention. She's a famous person. She put it out there, and that's great to bring attention to. But how rare is a case like hers in that a mammogram didn't catch something? You'd then take a risk assessment, and the mammogram missed that she has this aggressive form of breast cancer in both breasts. Is this a kind of an anomaly of a case here?
Well, I think it's not so unusual in our young patients where the mammogram is not necessarily the best test.
Okay.
Because of that dense breast tissue. And maybe she had an ultrasound or an MRI or something
else. She had both.
She had both.
After the risk assessment test.
I know they keep saying this is an aggressive form of breast cancer, but I think that's a strong word.
Okay.
She chose that word.
Okay.
And I'll give you a little biology lesson here. Breast cancer is not just one disease. There are many subtypes of breast cancer. She really has an intermediate form, I think. That
luminal B? I've never even heard of that.
So we have four molecular subtypes of breast cancer, luminal A, B, and then the HER2-enriched or the HER2-new-positive breast cancer, and then the basaloid breast cancer, which is unfortunately called triple-negative, which is kind of not a great name.
Right.
But what that's referring to are the three receptors that we look at that give us a lot of information about the biologic behavior of that cancer. And that's the estrogen and progesterone receptors, the hormone receptors. Those are the luminal A and B cancers. And then there's the HER2 positive, that's HER2 new positive. And triple negative means there's no receptors present for estrogen, progesterone, HER2 new. All three of those are absent. And that helps us determine what treatments to use in targeting the cancer and making sure we're treating that individual with the right kind of treatment. So the estrogen-positive breast cancers are all luminal, and we subdivide them into A and B. And there are tests that we can use that help us figure out which subtype it is, and that helps us determine if we should add chemotherapy to just the anti-estrogen endocrine therapy. And Amy knows about that.
Yes, I do.
We do genomic assays. One of them is called the Oncotype test. There's also a MammaPrint test. There are several tests we can run on the tumor tissue that tells us, okay, we know it's estrogen receptor positive, but are there other factors at play here which tell us, well, maybe we need to add a little something else to the treatment.
Dr. Warren, I'm sorry, just a quick thing here.
So it's not super, super aggressive, but it's a little more aggressive than the luminal A.
You said not super aggressive and not necessarily an anomaly because a mammogram isn't the best test for a younger woman. When you say young, in your world, when you're talking breast cancer and women young, what is the age we're talking about when you're thinking young?
Less than 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's 43, right?
Yeah, she's 43. And, you know, it is remarkable hearing you talk about there have been so many advances. I mean, even when I was diagnosed 10 years ago, I got the Onca score and you were able, that was, I remember you sat me down and you said, sorry, you got chemotherapy ahead of you, because my OncoScore was, I believe, intermediate. Mm-hmm. And you can actually predict, or at least say whether or not, what your chances are of having it recur and become metastatic. So I think mine was intermediate.
It was. And it's not just that score. We also look at the clinical factors, age, the size of the tumor, did any cells get into the lymph node, and we put all of that together. So, you know, nothing in medicine is just like an on-off switch. It's not just one thing that determines what we do. It's kind of all of the information, and then that soft thing we call clinical judgment. Yeah. That's why you can't replace me with a robot just yet.
Isn't she great? Isn't she great? I love Dr. Oritz. You know, I can't believe I let a year and a half go without coming in to see you.
Yeah, but a lot of us can't believe that, Rose.
But when stories like this hit the news, I know a lot of women go into panic mode, and you don't want people to overreact, but also it's not a bad thing, because this type of story brings awareness where women suddenly start to take their health a little bit more seriously and think, oh, wow, it could happen to me. What is your reaction when you see celebrities come out and explain what happened? I mean, they might not get all the facts exactly right, but the general idea is to warn and make women aware.
I'm always proud when someone steps forward to share something that's deeply personal, deeply intimate, and be able to open up to the public and say, learn from my story. I'm sharing this with you to help you. And that's a tremendous gift. And I think that for people to do that is very, very courageous.
This obviously raises awareness, but this Olivia Munn story and all the back and forth about this breast cancer risk assessment test, where would you caution us in this story? You want the word out there, but where do you caution everybody in listening to this story?
Well, I always caution people not to panic.
Okay.
But I would say the test is available, and I think Amy's right. I think the more that people are aware of their health, the better they're going to be able to take care of themselves. So if a woman says, gee, I'm a little concerned about this, I'm going to go online and run that assay on myself, you know, see where my number comes out. Then make sure, though, that we have the support system for her so she can follow up. Maybe even make that appointment with your doctor first, or go into your healthcare provider and say, I'd like to do this. Maybe we can do it together. I mean, it takes about 3 minutes to punch the numbers in on the computer. Right. So then you're not just sitting there and then can't get an appointment to see your doctor for 2 months and you're all in a panic about it. So maybe schedule that appointment and say, this is something I'd like to discuss with you, and go over all the other factors. Other risk factors for developing breast cancer are, for example, alcohol use. Too much drinking, no good. Don't drink every day. Don't drink more than two drinks if you're going out to a party. You know, alcohol can be a big risk factor. Keep a healthy body weight. You don't have to be super skinny, but a healthy body weight. Physical exercise is important. Amy knows that. And I think it's been a big factor in really keeping you healthy and getting you through the side effects of treatment.
To even be able to tolerate tamoxifen as long as I did, you know, I think staying active kept my joints working, because that's a big complaint. You know, some of the meds that they put you on makes you not want to exercise. But if you can push through it, then you can get to the other side of it and you can make it work and stay on it for as long as possible, which obviously reduces your risk of recurrence, which is what we're all looking for. I have a question. Can you, as a woman, go into your doctor and say, I just want a sonogram? And could you insist on it? Can you pay for it yourself if your insurance won't pay for it, if you have the means? What are your rights or options as a patient if you think you want something?
I think you should have that discussion with your doctor. And I think most doctors would agree to, you know, work with you in getting the right test done for you. Sometimes we have to finesse the order in which we do things. Sometimes, even at the cancer center, I have to call the radiologist and say, you know, I'm not doing that mammogram on this 32-year-old. It's not happening. Just do the ultrasound. Pick up the phone and, you know, make that phone call. But we can usually get things done in the right sequence and appropriately for each patient.
That test is available on the National Cancer Institute website, and they say they've had a huge spike this story happened. Please caution, I guess, women of color, black women in particular, I think, here, that I think they've tried to update the tool over time, but it might not be as accurate for women of color.
It may actually underestimate the risk, and we're not sure why that is. And it's not even because when we do genetic testing, we can find a particular gene. We haven't identified that yet. They also caution that for Asian women born outside of the United States, the test, and Hispanic women born outside of the United States, it may not be accurate. And that's because when the test was developed decades ago, it was validated on a population of predominantly Caucasian women. So there could be some caveats there. If a woman has a history of what we call non-invasive breast cancer, DCIS or LCIS, the tool is not accurate. If the person knows she has a genetic mutation like BRCA1 or BRCA2 or another genetic mutation that could increase the risk of cancer, the test is not accurate. So all of those kind of disclaimers are on the in the small print there, you know, when you open up the click on the internet to open up the test.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I have a question for any woman who is listening right now. What you mentioned the things you can be doing to prevent cancer or to lower your risk of cancer, but what in terms of monitoring and making those appointments, what should women be doing at what age? Can you give us kind of that rundown so anyone who's listening knows, okay, if I'm this age, I should be doing this. If I'm that age, I should be doing this. How often should I be doing it?
I'm going to start really young. I think any young woman who is sexually active should have an exam with a gynecologist or a GYN healthcare provider once a year. Make sure everything's okay. And that's also checking for infections or other conditions. And be sure it includes a breast exam. I think that all women from early age, 18 on, check yourself every month. The best time to do a self breast examination is right after your period is finished. That's when the breast is going to be the softest and the least tender. As a lot of women know, they feel fluctuations during the month with that monthly cycle. So once things have quieted down, check yourself, poke around under the arms, make sure there are no lumps or bumps. If someone has a concern, any concern at all, something feels weird. This looks odd. My skin color changed. There's a discharge from the nipple. Something's painful. Go in and get it checked out. May turn out to be nothing, but check it out. So that's for all women, I would say, from late teenage years on. Go in at least once a year for a checkup and check yourself every month. In terms of when to start breast imaging, that's that ultrasound or the mammogram or, if necessary, an MRI. That's where tools like this risk assessment tool might really help us figure out, okay, we have a general guideline that says start in your 40s, but maybe someone needs to start earlier because of a family history or some other factor in her health. So that's where we should maybe have our healthcare providers run that risk assessment tool when someone's coming in. It literally takes 3 minutes. Now, I don't think every 18-year-old needs it, but maybe when we're starting to get into those early 30s, that will trigger the provider, whether that's a nurse or a doctor or who's ever seeing that woman, say, yeah, did anyone in your family ever have breast cancer? You know, or did you have you had any pregnancies? How old were you when that first baby was born? And that then we can plug those numbers into the tool and see where we're at.
To that question, I'm so fast. I keep going back to this test, to this tool here. But I there might be a breakdown that lets people know if your number is this, if your number is this. So, but can you tell people here? Because a lot are going to go on and fill this out. So Olivia Munn's number was a 37%, and that's way, way, way high. But where do you start seeing numbers, you and someone else doing it online, to where you should be alarmed?
Yeah, that's a great question, TJ, because people are going to be doing this,
yes.
Right? So we say that the average lifetime risk of breast cancer for an American woman is about 12%. So if you punch it in and your lifetime risk, that's going to age 90, is 14%, I wouldn't get too, you know, too worried about it. But if you're coming up, you know, let's say, and I'm kind of just making this up, honestly, but, you know, 12%. So if you're starting to hit closer to 20%, 25%, she was above 30%, that's a higher risk. It also gives you a number within the next 5 years on that risk assessment tool. So the lifetime risk, hers was 37%, but I don't know what the number came out, because it gives you both within the next 5 years. If that number is significantly higher, you may want to go in sooner. So for example, we're going to calculate a patient risk, and I'm going to make up the answers to the question. Let's see how it comes out. So the first question is, does the woman have a medical history of DCIS or LCIS? The other thing it asks, by the way, is, has she had radiation treatment to the chest area? Because that increases the risk of breast cancer significantly. Wow. And sometimes we give that radiation treatment to young women who have lymphoma. Oh. We don't do it so much anymore, but we used to. So I'm going to say no. No history of those things. Is there a mutation in BRCA1, BRCA2, any genetic mutations? I'm going to say no. What age patient do you want us to look at?
Let's do
45.
Okay, 45. So I'm going to put that in. By the way, the assay starts at age 35. So a 28-year-old can't use this. It's not validated.
Oh, okay.
So it starts at age 35. So I'm going to pick 45. What is the patient's race or ethnicity? And the choices here are white, African American, Latina, Asian American, Native American or Alaskan Native, or unknown.
Let's go black.
Okay. And has the patient ever had a breast biopsy with a benign, meaning a non-cancerous diagnosis? I'm going to say no. Right? Most women haven't had
That's a breast biopsy.
And as we fill this out, depending on what you do in your life year to year, your number can change as you take the test year to year. Is that right?
That's right. Huh. Exactly. Because things are going to happen. Then we get into those questions about your reproductive history. What was the woman's age at the time of her first menstrual period? And they give us three choices. A very young age, which would be before age 11. Then kind of 12 to 13, which is sort of average. And the third choice would be 14 or older.
Let's do the average.
Let's give her the average, 12 to 13. And the age of her first child, so either no births or what age she was when she had a baby.
Let's say 29.
So then, okay, you're right on the edge, because it goes 25 to 29
or
30
funny.
Or older. Let's give her 29.
Yeah, I just used my birth age.
Yeah.
I mean, my age when I gave birth.
That's
great. I wish. I was born in 1929.
No. And what about that family history? Does she have a mother, sister, or daughter who had breast cancer?
I don't know. What do we say?
I'd say one. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say her mom had breast cancer. Okay. So this is now for this individual person. and I'm calculating her risk. The risk of her developing cancer within the next 5 years, so by age 50, is only 1.4%.
Wow.
That's a little higher than the average risk, which is 0.9% for the general population. So she's not in major big trouble this year. Over the course of her lifetime, her risk is a little bit higher, 14.4% compared to 9.5%.
I'm actually surprised because with a mother who had cancer being African American, that's actually a surprisingly low number to me. Is it to you?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah. Wow.
But you get that number. That woman just filled that out. She sees 14.4. Now what do I do?
She says, okay, what she really should see is in the next 5 years, it's 1%. So don't panic. But pick up the phone. Make sure you have that appointment to see your doctor. Check in your calendar. Did I do a mammogram last year? Am I up to date? If not, go in to see your doctor. Bring this information and say, I want to review this with you. Am I doing enough screening? Is there something we should add to this? Gee, my mom had breast cancer, but we never did that genetic testing thing. Should I speak to the genetic counselor? So, you know, follow up on all of those issues.
Dr. Oratz, I just thought of something because as you plugged those numbers and that information in, that would have been me, except for that I didn't have a family history. I didn't have a close relative who had breast cancer, and I was 40, not 45. So my number would have been probably even lower than that because I'm white as well.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't know. We'd have to put it in and see. But
by those questions, I'm fairly certain I would not have had a high percentage.
Probably not.
And yet, I had stage 2 breast cancer. It had spread to my lymph nodes. Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't want people, and I know you wouldn't want people to go on, take this test and think, I'm good. I don't have to get a mammogram. I'm good. I don't have to go in every year and get tested.
That could happen. And that's what I was getting back to before, where it's not just one thing. This is helpful. But remember, check yourself, go every year to see the doctor and have a clinical breast exam, and make sure that starting at age 40, there's some kind of screening. And if you're at higher risk, start at a younger age.
Dr. Oratz, do you have anything else, babe? I didn't want to just...
Well, I was trying to put in your numbers, and your risk, it does come out very, very low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't someone to have a false impression that somehow they're not going to get breast cancer because this test told them their number was low.
It doesn't substitute for all those other things we need to do to take care of ourselves.
I remember sitting, I could get emotional here, sitting at NYU. I was about to probably see you in a few hours and didn't realize, going in for my follow-up mammogram and kind of getting nervous because they kept asking me to come back and get new images. And I was trying not to get scared, so I started looking up my chances as a 40-year-old, otherwise healthy woman. And I said, I got less than a 1% chance of having breast cancer. And I put myself at ease and I told myself to stop freaking out that I almost certainly didn't have it. And even when they found something, when I had to have a biopsy, I was like, it's going to be benign. So when I was told I had breast cancer and I saw you, I believe about an hour later, I couldn't have been more shocked. I didn't think it could happen to me.
What did you get that said it was 1%? Where did you get that?
It's just the average. I mean, if you are if you have no family history, if you're relatively healthy, I knew I was thin, I knew I exercised, I knew I ate well. I, on an average risk, a woman my age had a less than 1% chance of developing breast cancer.
I said that because I just filled her answers out on this assessment. It came 0.6%.
See that?
Chance.
Less than 1%.
And yet, I had breast cancer. So I just wanted to point that out.
Right. So none of these tools are foolproof. No. They're helpful. But I think you're right, Amy. We want to make sure that people still follow up and do all the other things they need to do to stay healthy.
And look, our best to Olivia Munn, and congratulations, and thank you really for putting this out there and sparking these discussions. And I bet you the fact that she has done this is going to save lives that we don't even realize. Yeah. But Dr. Oratz, before you go, can you please talk to this one for me? And you know, I've stayed on her about it, but if you can, give her a little reminder of just how important it is for her to keep up with those appointments.
It is important. And what I love the most about my practice is all the people who come in for their once a year checkup, 20 years later, and they're fine. And even for some of my young patients who come in and tell me that they've had a baby since they were diagnosed, and wow. I see those babies, or, you know, celebrating other life events. And it is just fantastic. So it makes me happy. And then I know you're healthy. So I think the other thing that happens is once someone does have a cancer diagnosis, anything else that comes up, we want to know about. Not because it means the cancer's coming back, but, you know, we sort of have a lot of ownership around our cancer patients. And I think as oncologists, we like to know that you're well. And we also want to make sure that you're doing all the other screening tests you need to do. You know, that colonoscopy no one wants to talk about.
Right.
Who's going to remind you about that? You know, so there are other things that we like to just check our boxes and make sure everybody's healthy and come in for your checkups.
Well, Dr. Oratz, I am so happy you came in, and you came to see me before I came to see you, but I am going to be there on March 26th so we can catch up then, and I will have my girls get their baseline mammogram at the age of 30 after everything I just heard you say, and
with the sonogram,
you're right, with the sonogram, and that was part of what we were talking about. So I think so many women are going to be so grateful for your perspective and your information, and Thank you just for being you, and thank you for helping me over this past decade and for the decades to come.
For the decades to come. And to everyone out there, don't panic. You're going to be fine.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.